Appointed as committee substitute for House Bill 121, Finance, Public Employees, Teacher, Judicial, and National Guard Benefits. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, there are four provisions in the committee substitute, plus a fifth one that I'm going to recommend, but it's not in the committee substitute. This deals with temporary legislative employees. But the...
Now, make sure that the other members understand, if you're going to deal with that special section,
yeah,
you're going to go ahead with the bill, and then we'll come back and discuss that. Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
The four provisions in the bill, the first one cleans up language requested by the Division of Retirement and Benefit throughout the bill. The second provision is an actuarially funds the post-retirement adjustment for retirement individuals. Sets the ceiling of 75% of COLA or 9%, whichever is less, for individuals 65 years old or older. Number three, raises benefit formula for teachers and state employees from 2% or 2% per year to 2.25% for the first 10 years and 2.5% for the second 10 years and all years thereafter of service. Number four is establishes uniform retirement age of 55 for all state employees by permitting judge and EPORS members to retire at that age. Also permits 20 and out option for judges and EPORS members who contribute extra 2% to the system. This is similar to peace officers and teachers who have 20 and out provision.
Wait just a second. Back up and six, go by that one more time, will you, Frank? Read that back.
Number four.
Let me find number four. You're talking.
Oh, I'm just giving you the four components.
Okay. Well, read number four again.
Okay. Establishes a uniform retirement age of 55 years for all state employees by permitting judges and EPORS members to retire at that age. Also permits 20 and out option for judges and EPORS members who contribute an extra 2% to the system.
Who are EPORS people?
That's public, the elected officials.
Elected, okay.
This is similar to the peace officers and teachers who have the 20 and out provision.
Is this identical to the same thing we put in 1 year and the people voted out?
I don't believe so.
We'll get to it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You'd have to ask somebody.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd ask that Ken Humphreys or anyone from the department
come up
and answer any questions.
Well, Paul Arnold's here too, also, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
One? You want them all to come up? Why don't you fellas come up and look at the bill? I don't know, maybe better grab, there's a chair over there if you'd rather have it, sit yourself, okay? Then identify yourself for the record.
I'm Paul Arnold, the director for the Division of Retirement Benefits.
My name's Ken Humphreys, I'm deputy director in retirement.
Okay, thank you, fellas, for being here. Senator Ferguson?
If there are any questions by committee members.
Well, Mr. Arnold, how long have you fellows had to look this committee substitute over? Y'all, are you familiar with what's in it?
Mr. Chairman, no, we're not. We just got a copy of it.
Well, then I don't know how much different that is than the original bill. You are familiar with House Bill number 121, Finance. Are you not?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen that one. And I frankly haven't had a chance to sit down and play these across each other. But do you want to address the 121 in any manner you like? But I guess I'm really wanting some testimony on 121 Finance. You don't know about the substitute unless at least address the other one. Do you support the bill? If not, what portion you don't like? On and on. Give us some idea.
Okay. I'll address that, Mr. Chairman. Speaking now to the House Finance CS, in that form. This bill is very similar to one that was developed in consultation with some of the legislative leaders, and we in the division expended a considerable amount of time and energy in developing, for example, the formula in the PRPA section, as well as the staggered formula in the benefit formula increase. We tried to make that work in such a way that it would work to the advantage of the state in retaining employees as well as just being a benefit to the employees. There was one change that was made in the House State Affairs Committee after a draft was developed. That was that they applied the benefit formula increase to past service for employees. We did not consider this to be a change that was necessarily in the state's best interest, but it was a change which was tolerable. And in the form that it's in now, the House Finance Committee substitute, I think we can say definitely that the administration still does support this.
And it does?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, as to the amendments, presumably, that are contained in this Senate Finance CS, we did have a chance to see one of those in advance, and that is the amendment which would allow vested employees to buy in their temporary time at the going rate. This is not an amendment that we support insofar as the very notion of temporary service is to some extent antithetical with the notion of retirement. However, we also don't consider that to be an overriding defect, that we would probably still overall support the bill with that provision in it. Now, as to these other suggested amendments, I do not know where they are in this draft. And in fact, applying the 20 and out to EPORs and reducing the judicial retirement age to 55, the very first that we had heard of them was right here.
Senator Lashley.
I guess the first major change would be Section 16.
Section 16?
That deals with the judges and justices. What are we doing there?
Now, is that the first change?
That's the first one I've been able to catch one.
Maybe we'd better follow this through rapidly and see. Now, that's number 16 is... We're dropping that 5 years for judges what's the effect of that?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ferguson.
Mrs. Pegues is the one that drafted the Finance Committee substitute, so we may want to ask her.
Yeah, is she here?
No, she isn't. But if you continue on this way, I'll try and run it down.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having her, because I just want to make sure, as I said on these last minute bells, that we don't do something that's going to get us all in trouble. I can have somebody get a hold of her, Frank.
No.
Okay. Basically, what we're doing is just lowering their retirement age 5 years back to 50 years of age.
From 60 to 55.
Well, wait a minute. May be commenced after he's reached age 50 or upon his serving 20 years as a justice or judge. I'm reading on the supplement at the top of page 8. Maybe that's except that
that's an actuary
equivalent
retirement
pay may be commenced.
Right. It would move normal retirement from age 60 to age 55, and it would move early retirement from age 55 to age 50. So just a 5-year drop in retirement age across the board.
Well, I wonder who asked for that and what justification. They've got the best retirement system in the world anyway.
That is obviously true. And this kind of although we've obviously not had a chance to talk to the actuary, it's very clear that this kind of a change will have very great cost impact in the judicial system. Anytime you reduce the retirement age, and particularly in that 5-year period, it's going to have a large cost impact. I do not know what the rationale is for putting that in there.
I think I do.
I've seen someone down here a couple days ago.
Yes, I saw somebody around here the other day. You're not recommending that, though.
Certainly not.
That's not yours. All right. I'll wait when he gets back. Maybe we can make some motions later on what we don't like. All right, can we continue on? Let's look at section 17.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Sure.
We had an in-depth hearing in the State Affairs Committee on this bill about 2 weeks ago. We had the gentleman there, and, everybody had input into it. And that bill is, I believe, is in our file.
Is that the 121?
It's a Senate Bill 400. Senate Bill 400. We also have in our file this one here, the House Bill, which are just a small difference between it and the one we heard in State Affairs.
And, you know what that difference is, really?
Just the only difference.
I mean, do you have a problem with 121?
No.
I mean, since that's the
bill. That's actually the bill we worked on in State Affairs, because it was a Senate bill rather than a House bill, but they're identical, except for one small, insignificant change.
But for the purpose of getting this, if we want this bill this year, it has to be on a House bill. So
right.
121 is no problem, huh? This one?
That's the one we took the testimony on.
Well, okay.
The teachers were there, the public employees were there, the administration was there, and acceptable to everyone.
Where are the, let me find out the sections in here. Section 16.
And 16 and 17, both are totally new to the bill.
Sections what are 16?
16 and 17, too.
Well, I lost it now. Oh, wait a minute. 6 to 17.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, in other words, there hasn't been any testimony on those from anybody that you know. Okay, now that's 16 and 17. Let's go by. Let's go to section 18. I'm looking at the original committee substitute for House Bill number 121. Let me find the section now where this thing's put together a little bit. Section 11. What page? Somebody help me. Do y'all know what page section 18 is on? 19. I'm using the House.
That's also new. Where we get back on the old bill is section 17 on the House bill is the same as section 19 on the committee substitute. That's where they start coming together again.
Well, we haven't adopted any committee substitute. Let's work off of the bill before us here, which is committee substitute for House Bill number 121. Okay, let's go back and talk in terms of what page would we be on to pick up after we eliminated the... everything seems to be identical down to, you said, we put in the judges.
16, 17, 18 are different. Then we get back to 19 corresponds to committee substitute. Finance committee substitute on 19 corresponds to the House bill. And that section is 17. That's where they come back together again.
Well, we have judges in this bill. Section C, the section dependent. Oh, wait. No, I don't either. Section 19 on page 10. Under definitions, there is many to read. And then definitions, where are we there? Starting with section 19. Is everything else up to that point identical?
No.
Good.
16, 17, 18 are different. Then 19 triggers back onto the old bill again, which is actually...
I think probably I'm confusing the committee, because forget about this committee substitute for a minute, and I wanted to look at the bill. I just wanted to get up.
Yeah, I believe that the section 17 and 18 in this proposed CS had been inserted between...
That's where I wanted to know.
Yeah, between section 16 and 17 in the House Finance CS. Two new sections came in there after section 16, so they would fit in on page 8 of the bill that is before you.
They were in there just about line 12. They were inserted in.
Yes, sir.
That's the judges, the sections,
right.
16 and section 17. Now, is the bill, I think, pretty well up to this point? I was trying to find out if it's pretty consistent with what was in this other than that.
Yes, as far as I know, there aren't any changes. We haven't had a chance to read it, but...
All right. Let's continue on then with section 17, and I'm again on page 8 of of our committee bill deals with accounting and investment. Now, let me find that right quick in the other one. If we still have that in the sub. Accounting and investment in the committee substitute is on page 9. It's section 19.
Right.
Okay, that apparently is all right. Let's move on then to... If you have any comments you want to make on one of these sections,
well,
go ahead.
On these two that have been inserted, the ones that reduce the retirement age, as I said, it will have a considerable cost impact in a system that you correctly observed is already far and away the most lucrative one in the state by a factor of at least 4. We're talking there, what, 100-plus now percent of payroll, Paul, for funding the system. That will go up. So that the state will be required to put more into the retirement system by a wide margin than they're actually paying the justices and judges, to give you something to think about. Also, from a policy point of view, I'd suggest to you that it is not accidental that they put in an age 60 retirement for justices and judges. Generally speaking, this is not a career that somebody moves into right out of college and serves 20 years. And
Wait, excuse me, just a moment. Are you talking about on the committee substitute?
Yes, I'm talking about these two new sections.
Yeah, let's skip those a minute.
Okay.
I don't think you have the votes for that here myself. You know, you don't have mine, I'll tell you. I don't know. I won't pin the committee down on those two sections, but I'll certainly bring the amendments up if it's moved, but I'm not going to vote for it. So there's no point wasting a lot of time on that, it's unless one of the committee members wants to discuss it further. But I'd like to get back to page 8, on the committee substitute, page 9, section 19, line 17, or page 8, line 13 of the bill we're working off of. Those seem, and we're dealing with accounting and investment.
That is a cleanup section that was contained in this
original
bill.
No problem with that.
No, sir.
All right, let's go now to section 20 at the bottom of page 10 on the committee substitute and to section 18, which is at the bottom of page line 23 on page 9.
That appears to be intact also.
All right, let's go to 19 on page 10 of our committee on 121 and... to section 21, line 23 on the committee substitute on page 11. That's definitions, okay?
Yes.
All right. Let me mark these okay. Now let's go to section 20 on the bottom of page 10 on 121, and we'll go to 22.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. And okay.
21 and 23.
Let me find it. Yeah. Using our substitute bill, we're going from page 11, line 20, section 21.
That appears to be the section 23 in the new bill, and it doesn't look to be changed.
Okay. We can stop just a moment to bring our other member up. What we're doing, Senator Sackett, is there's a committee substitute we have before us. It hasn't been adopted. We have before us a committee substitute for House Bill number 121, Finance. Now, I'm going through section by section. There's two sections that we've run across, section 16 and 17, which expands in the committee substitute for the retirement system of the judiciary. So I've just set those aside. Now we're going through just comparing the two bills. Apparently, as Senator Lassen says, 121 had a very thorough hearing in state affairs. And so I'm checking to see what the differences in the committee substitute in this bill are. When I say 121, I'm talking about the bill before us, not the committee substitute. 121, did we agree on section 21? That's page 11 of the 121, line 20. That deals with procurement of group insurance.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now where is that in the... let me find that in the substitute.
That's
page
12? Section 23 on page 12.
Okay, those are okay then in the committee substitute. Okay, we've already been that way. let me find section 24. Section 24 of the committee proposed committee substitute is page 15, line 11. And it would be section, that would be equivalent to our 121. Let's find the page.
14, line 8.
Is it page 14, line 8, on 121?
That appears to be unchanged.
Okay. Now, our next section would be section 25 of the committee substitute on page 16, line 8. And compare that with section 23 of the 121 on page 15. Is there any change in that?
Doesn't appear to be.
All right,
fine.
That one's okay. Continuing on to find section 26 on page 16 of the proposed committee substitute. And?
That looks fine.
Page 15, line 16, section 24 is okay. Next section is on page 17 of the committee's proposed committee substitute, line 10, is section 28. That should be the same as section, 26?
Yes, sir.
Of the state affairs, or the 121, which is on line 6. Those are okay.
Right.
Going to section 29, that's equal to 27 on the other one. Any difference there, you see?
That looks fine.
Okay. Section 30 on page 18 of the proposed committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Sir, I'll call your attention to that there's a minor change between the House bill and the Senate bill we've heard in state affairs, which is maybe, it's in this proposed committee substitute, but it was not in Senate Bill 400, that line was there.
Yes.
Is that?
I can speak to that, if I may.
That's the only difference between the House bill and the Senate bill we've heard, but this language is in the House bill.
All right, what section are we talking about?
Well, it's that language on 17, which starts on line 26. The credit service allowed, on the committee substitute.
Are you on page 18?
On page 17 of this year. New.
Thank you.
It's the section 27 of the House Finance CS on page 16.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's on what?
It's section 27, page 16 of the House Finance CS entitled Credit Service for Employment with the Division of Marine Transportation.
All right. Now that's so everybody will know that's on the bottom of page 6. That's section 27 on page 16.
Yes, this subject matter was originally contained in Senate Bill 400, and as Senator Eliason said, much of this bill was incorporated in Senate Bill 400. At that time, we suggested some changes in the language, and the draft which we provided to Senate State Affairs had those two sentences in them. And as I understood it, the way the committee passed it out was with that draft. How those two sentences got omitted is still a mystery to me. I called Laura Fleming and asked her about it, and she did not know.
What are the effect of leaving them out? What happens?
Okay, what those two sentences require is, first, they put a limit of 5 years on the amount of marine transportation service that could be claimed under PERS. We did this to make it, it seemed fair to put some sort of limit on it, and we chose the same limit as applies to military service credit. The other sentence simply refers, to the retroactive contributions that must be made. I think probably they would have to do that under subsection B anyway, but putting that sentence in there makes it clear that they do, like for military service, have to make the contributions on it. There's one additional change also that is in this bill that was not in Senate Bill 400, and that is right at the very first. It says a vested employee who is a member of the system on July 1st, 1981. And I don't believe that was in Senate Bill 400. And the effect of that is to attempt to restrict this kind of service credit to people who are already on board with the state, who may possibly have been misled about whether or not they could participate in PERS, but to not allow this crediting of Marine Transit service for future employees who would not be misled. They would understand right on the front end that...
What's the preference in the language now? We're talking 400. We've got the bill before us on one committee substitute for House Bill 121. Are we saying that language is not in here, that in 121?
It is in 121, yes.
But it's not in the proposed substitute?
It is in both. It is not a difference.
The only question is that it was not in 400.
Right, the one we referred.
That is correct. I was just trying to respond to Senator Lawson's question about why it was in here and not in 400.
That's the only question I have.
All right, let's continue.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Section 16, Section 17, Section 32D, in parentheses, and Section 55 are the... incorporated in the Senate Finance version. That's the only changes.
Okay, let's go back. Give me those 16, 17, what?
32, and parentheses D. They didn't make a change in D in Section 55.
Okay, now, if that's true, that we were just running through here trying to find the difference in the two, and you just solved our problem for us, if that's correct, if those are the only two changes. Now, let's go back then and look at Section 16 and 17. First, let's identify in the committee substitute that you're going to propose Section 32. Let me find out. I think that'll be on about 7, 18, 19. It's bottom of page 19 on the proposed committee substitute, line 23. Temporary service credit. Now, somebody can address that if they will. That's not in the other bill.
This was the only addition. I mean, 16, 17, 32, and D for sure, and 55.
Okay. I'm trying to find out. It doesn't seem like that addresses that at all in the other bill. So this is a whole new section.
Yeah.
And do you know what the purpose of this section is, Senator Ferguson, or do we have somebody to explain that section?
Section 32, is this the temporary service credit?
Yes.
Okay, last year, this is my understanding, last year the legislature passed legislation that allowed for legislative employment, employees with temporary service, correct me if I'm wrong, with temporary service credit for that service. For part-time. This allows the same law to apply to the executive branch. The same method of dealing with temporary service credit. Mr. Arnold?
This, Mr. Chairman, this is the one section that we did have a chance to look at in advance. Similar, I think, to, I believe it's Senate Bill 356, unless I'm mistaken. I think Senator Sackett indicated that it is a provision whereby vested employees in the executive branch could buy in prior time as a temporary employee, which was not covered at the time the service was rendered. Again, it is similar in some ways to service credit for legislative temporaries, but our position is always been on temporary service credit that we believe that it was antithetical with the notion of retirement. That
it was what?
Antithetical.
What does that mean?
That they don't go together like oil and water. In other words, if a person is going to stay with you and retire, then it makes sense to call him a permanent employee and treat him as such. I would commend that to you maybe for the so-called temporaries of the legislature as well. The cost impact of this is not particularly great. The number that comes to mind is somewhere around $200,000 per year for this particular section. Yes, over a 25-year period. Again, we do not feel it's appropriate, but this is not a defect in the bill which seems nearly as serious as some of the other proposed amendments.
Okay. All right, let's get on with it then. If the, did you want me to see that? Or is that something else? Everybody's got one to come up this morning. Then if I understand, the temporary so far, without section 16 and 17, we'll go back and discuss those. We're talking about section 32, and you say that it's a cost of about $200,000?
Yes, sir.
It's $200,000
okay.
per year.
Per year.
For the next 25 years.
Let's just set that aside for a minute, so when we adopt the committee substitute, I suppose that's one way we can do it, or we can vote on these. We haven't really got the committee substitute before us. We'd like to do that now. We can bring the committee substitute or move that we operate off the committee substitute. Is that satisfactory with you, Frank?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move that we adopt the committee substitute for finance.
Any objections? If not, we'll work off of that then. Okay, now we have, it's adopted. Page 19, line 24, temporary service credit. I suppose since it's already in here, the motion would have to be, if we want to vote on these sections, I'll move to take it out and see what the vote is. I suppose if somebody has to take a negative position if we want to vote it in or out.
I had a question. I thought Senator Ferguson said section 32... D.
No, 32, the emphasis on D.
Oh, okay. All of 32 then.
Well, I'm going to make a motion that we eliminate section 32 from the bill. And I'm doing that just for the purpose of, not that I intend to vote that way, I'm just moving that we do it because we vote on these new sections. All in favor of eliminating the section?
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I just don't have a clear understanding of this section yet. Could I ask one more time?
Sure.
Would you just give me a description of what we're doing with this section?
Yes. It's currently possible for a vested employee to, and Paul can correct me if I go astray, but it's currently possible for a vested employee to claim his prior temporary service. However, if he does so, he has to pay the full actuarial cost of it. That is to say, he has to pay what it's worth. It's essentially a push. The main change in this section 32, as I understand it, is that it would require him to make the contributions he would have made otherwise. That is, as I understand it, generally speaking, for service in the not-too-distant past, it would be 4.25%, the same amount that he would have had to contribute out of his paychecks had the service been covered. It grants essentially service credit for temporary employment under those circumstances if the employee goes on to become vested.
How many people would be involved in this program? You got a ballpark figure you can give us?
I do not off the top of my head.
We're talking about, what's the total amount, 25 or 30% that would be going in and that they would be picking up? What is the total contribution that would...
This is pretty important.
Oh, well, the employee, as I said, now currently in PERS, and except for police and fire, contributes 4.25%.
What's the state?
The state's contribution rate is currently 14.
Plus
14 and change.
Okay, so we're talking about roughly 20%. The employee now has to put in if they want.
But if this bill passed,
right.
The state's share is going to go up to about 30%. So it's 4.25 to 30. So it's going to be a substantial benefit to the employees, and there are a very large number of employees affected by this.
This is all temporary employees, all right. Three branches.
Well, of course, legislative temporary employees already have the
right.
They
don't have this provision, right? How are they currently treated?
Well, they were allowed already to claim their past temporary service. They had to claim that, I think, by July 1st of 80, unless I'm mistaken.
So how much did they have to pay? Just the contributions that they made?
Yes. This is on a par with that.
And this is focused on the executive.
In that sense, yeah, and to make sure that we're not out of sync, it's worth pointing out that we were opposed to that at the time as well. So.
Now, Mr. Chairman, if I could pursue that one step further. This, in essence, then, this would be no different than if these people came into the, let's say when they first became a temporary employee 5 years ago, if they could have joined the program, then they'd start making contributions at 4.5%, right? And what this is saying is, instead of making them pick up what the state also put in for that period of time, it's essentially retroactive and all they have to do is pay their portion.
Yes.
Now, what... It's beginning to make more sense to me, and I'm not sure that this isn't a fairly equitable way to treat them. I mean, what does it matter whether we start this program now or they're eligible now or whether they were eligible 5 years ago if we're going to provide a retirement program? Of course, you say the basic philosophy behind retirement programs, it shouldn't even extend to temporary employees, right?
Or in particular, temporary employment.
The thinking being that if by law a temporary employee was only to work for a defined period of time, and I think at that time the maximum was up to like nine months. So if you're paying them a set of benefits, rather good set of benefits to retain them, but then you've got provisions in the law that says you have to eliminate them, you're paying additional monies for the attraction and for the retention that's impossible. So it just doesn't make any sense. You're throwing money to retain individuals that you know that you're going to have to let go. And now to go back retroactively, since we've gone through the temporary to the non-permanent bill and try to put some kind of salve on that is just
that's a philosophical kind of thing.
What is your ballpark estimate on the cost of this program?
$200,000 per year.
Does that include the 2.25%?
You want to come back to this section in just a second? Yeah, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I'd like more information on this.
Well, we won't be able to pass the bill out today, because we won't have another shot at it. If we can get to the meat of the question pretty quick, because otherwise, frankly, we won't be able to finish.
Well, I'll tell you the concern that I have is whether this is going to pass muster with the governor. Do you know?
My understanding is that it's subject to consideration, but I don't think that it means veto.
If I understood the testimony, is it that you didn't approve of the thing particularly, but it's not of the significance that you would be, it doesn't do all that much damage. Is that correct, or is that what you said?
Essentially, I think it's certainly as correct to say that we do not approve of it in the sense that I don't think it serves the state's purpose as an employer. It doesn't serve to attract or retain. But it is not, the objection is not of the same caliber as, for example, to the Section 16 and 17. Neither the cost impact nor the problem from a philosophical point of view is as great if you can weigh those things.
Well, I'd like to renew my motion and just vote on it if you have any objection. If you feel that way, you may join me in the vote. But at any rate, I'm going to move that we eliminate Section 32 from the substitute. All in favor of eliminating, raise your hand, please. Those opposed? Okay, it's eliminated. Now, let's go to Sections 55. This is, who can explain Section 55?
We're on Section 55, Mr.
Yes, over on Section 55, page 29, eligible to receive retirement. Maybe somebody can give us some idea of...
Mr. Chairman, without an equal statute in front of us, I'm not certain what this change accomplishes. Maybe
my understanding understanding is that it allows elected officials to retire while having early out.
I'm sorry?
Having early out.
The thing I'm not sure of is, without a statute in front of me, is the E-4's age currently 55?
60.
60? Okay, so it lowers it 5 years and applies the 20 and out.
Okay.
That appears to be what it's doing.
And that would be earlier.
Right, and right. So this would drop it 5 years, and currently you can, I think, go out with, you can take early retirement with 20 years of service, and you know, to be honest about it, I think that was probably an oversight. They probably intended to have the 20 and out, but this is lowering the overall retirement age by 5 years for E-4s.
Intended.
The legislature, I suspect, by the way the language was drafted.
No, I was here.
Well, I guess.
Don't tell us what we probably intended.
Well, you intended that that it be 20 years for early retirement, 20
yeah.
year service.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's changing that. I beg your pardon.
I would move that we eliminate Section 55 from the committee substitute. Somebody object, please.
Check.
Okay. All in favor of eliminating the Section 55, raise your hand.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question.
All right.
Who does this apply to?
Elected officials.
Elected officials.
You. All opposed to taking it out? Okay, it stays in. For one thing, and I want to correct my vote for a moment ago. I got so carried away with having made the amendment that I voted with it, and I didn't intend to. So I would like to rescind our action. I'm going to make a motion that we rescind our action in taking out Section 32 on page 19, and I. So I guess the motion is ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in taking that out. Any objection? Not for it. That's back before us. The motion now is shall we looking for the right word now, shall we omit Section 32 from delete Section 32 from the bill? All in favor of deleting Section 32, raise your hand. All opposed? Okay. Section 32 stays in. Now we're at Section 16 and 17. And this has to do with the judges. Been explained before. I don't like it, so I don't mind telling you that. And I'm not going to make a speech on it, but I think their retirement system's good enough, and I don't think this is the way to do it. So, but at any rate, I'm going to make the motion that we remove Section 16 and Section 17 from the bill.
Chairman, are you serious this time?
I'm serious this time. I know what I'm doing. Section 16 and 17 should be omitted from the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the amendment I've just passed down.
Which one?
Okay.
What this, just a brief description, what this does is allows a teacher that is on a leave of absence for specific purposes, and if you look at A there, it refers to it, to count that year of leave toward the credible service for retirement, so they can retire in 20 years. As it is now, it's a disincentive to taking a year off to go back to school or anything, because they can't count it towards a 20-year creditable service for retirement. There would be a very minimal number of people that would be involved in this program. And I think it's a good provision.
Well, okay. Senator Lassen, moving right along.
Is this a bill that's been filed?
I haven't filed it. No, this is just the draft.
I'll speak, since somebody objected, let me speak to that amendment only from my own self, Senator Stimson. These retirement programs are delicately balanced and stuff, and I really feel uncomfortable coming here in the last minute and start throwing things out here that I just don't think these people have had time to actuarially study them, and I don't want to ruin the teacher's program or have someone come back and say we did something that was very...
No, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. The department has seen this before. They are not supportive of it, but I think the way the statute is currently, we do not do anything to encourage teachers for any professional upkeep. If you look at line 19 there, it has to be authorized by a school board, and it has to determine that it's for professional administrative competence. And it seems to me like those are legitimate reasons to... The teacher is still making the contributions. The only difference is that he can count that year towards the retirement.
Okay. The motion, there's an amendment before us, and each one of you have a copy. Those in favor of the amendment, raise your right hand. Opposed? Amendment failed. I have another amendment here from Senator Ferguson, if you'll explain that.
This would authorize the legislature.
Doesn't make much difference now.
Doesn't make it. Actually, get a better, retirement. And the fiscal note here is $150,000 for personal services and $50,000 for one-time data processing change. And that's for fiscal year 1993.
Okay. In other words, we're dealing with temporary legislative employees.
Yes.
And
well, for example, Peggy Morgan has 10 years of service, if not more, and the way they compute it, as of today, she only is entitled to 3.5 years of retirement.
Everything else is in. Would you like to comment on that? I mean,
Mr. Chairman, the...
As rapidly as possible, we're running out of time. Do you approve it or not approve it?
No, we...
Mr. Chairman, I move the further adoption.
Okay. Those in favor of the amendment...
Mr. Chairman, I'm not even sure what the amendment is. Is it just the fiscal note?
No, do you have a copy? I'm sorry. Well, you shouldn't have.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak this by name. If we have time.
I'll let you go ahead. We're right in the middle of a vote. Go ahead.
The fiscal note, unfortunately, I think we've misled Senator Ferguson's aide. The $150,000 would be the cost if we were to put this in under the existing system using a two-day factor rather than the table. If this table is used in this bill, which is increasing the formulas and the PRPAs, we're looking at, talking with our actuary just before we came over here, we're looking at a cost of about $1 million, first year cost.
For benefits.
Plus the $50,000 for the DP work. What we're seeing here is that we're going to grant more than a day's credit or more than a year's credit, however you want to look at it, for service. for legislative employees. The concerns that we have is that we already have a system where we're basing credit on 7.5 hours per day from start days to finish days. And the problem we have is we already know, for example, that we have supervisors who work an 8-hour day. We have people who work overtime.
I understand all that, Paul. Unfortunately, I'm taking it that you're opposed to the amendment.
Very much, yes.
Very much opposed. All right, there's a motion before us to adopt the amendment. Those in favor of the amendment, raise your right hand. Those opposed? What are we doing, a tie vote?
Fails. Pardon?
Hey, Ferguson.
Pick a straw.
All right, good. All right, somebody want to move the bill? Go ahead.
I'd move that we move a Senate committee substitute for Kimberly substitute for House Bill number 121, Finance Amendment, with individual recommendation.
And the fiscal note is what?
There's a new fiscal note here.
Well, I have to have a new fiscal note.
Has to
exclude the judges.
Well, and we've got one here that, prepared by the Finance Committee at 700. Okay, why not move? My understanding was we were going to move this out with a zero fiscal note. That's
well,
not possible.
Its effective date is 1982.
Well, that's why I mean that.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding, in the budget, there is already appropriated money to cover this.
Then you don't need a fiscal note.
Well, it's in the fiscal note section of the budget. Yeah.
Oh, it's already in there.
Yeah.
And we don't need any adopting fiscal note here. Am I understanding you right? Okay. We just passed the bill out. All in favor? Raise your right hand. The bill is passed. Okay. You have two here that were sent down right quick. Gentlemen, are these been passed out? Committee. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Just one brief point, if I may.
All right.
It seems to me that the only effect on the fiscal note would be that temporary Section 32, which was added in, that has an effective date of July 1, '81, so it would have some impact in FY82. It would increase this fiscal note that you have for the House Finance CS.
We'll take care of it.
By that amount. Okay.
It has? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to take up committee substitute for House Bill 272, an act relating to survey and improvement of public land. This suddenly has become a House priority. And
say the number again.
It's committee substitute for House Bill 272. As I understand it, it was explained to me by Senator Hayes, or Representative Hayes, this morning, that it's a good bill.
Do we have a fire?
Yeah, you should. I don't know whether you do or not. If not,
oh, yeah.
I hope we do. It's a survey bill. And if there's, would you look at it quick and tell me if there's any objections? I know. But I asked Hayes about it because of that, and he said that he, as an engineer, looked at it and thinks it's a good bill.
What's the fiscal impact?
Well, I'm going to assume nothing. I don't know. This is a problem with doing what we're about to do. I just don't know. It would appear, if I'm reading the bill right, that there wouldn't be one, would it?
I recall...
Senator Lassen?
I'm not quite sure whether this is going to get restructured or not.
If we can move this to rules, then I'll look.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 272, permitting the individual recommendations.
We have a motion before us to move committee substitute for House Bill number 272, resource amended with individual recommendations, and I will get some information on it before it gets on the floor. Thank you. The next bill. But to come before the committee is committee substitute for House Bill 188, special appropriation reconstruction of the Iditarod Elementary School in Wasilla, destroyed by a fire. It was my understanding that they need this money now to get the construction going. The school was insured. A lot of this money will be returned to the state.
Move it out to individual.
We have a motion before us to move out committee substitute for House Bill number 188, second finance. Any objections? If not, the bill is moved out. Now,
before us is House Bill 508. Senator Ferguson?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we delete everything in 508, starting with the title, and then insert a new title, an act relating to displacement homemakers and to child care facilities and care assistance and providing for an effective date. And I'd move that we pass the bill out of committee with the individual recommendations.
Any discussion on the motion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor of the motion? Opposed the motion? Motion carries.
What did we just do?
We just moved
508 moved out of committee, individual recommendations. Thank you.
Whatever it says, homemakers or
something,
displaced homemakers.
Here, you sign and then just tell me this. Does this include both bills just as they were?
We got a bill before.
I understand. Yeah, but all I'm asking is it's the same bill. I haven't seen it, right? Your signature is getting smaller. Is there some psychological reason? Are you shrinking or what? You're just getting very tiny here.
No, I'm tired.
Oh, okay. I'm going to sign mine big.
Okay.
Because I'm going to.
Do it. Hurry up and do it. I don't want to sign it and run. I'm going to sign do not pass in here, but I don't mind.
You go ahead and do that. Okay, and I'll get back to you on that other, Ed. Thank you.
Here it is. And that's what those little part times last year.
I'm going to have this, keep this for just a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay, I can give you a copy if that's all right.
All right, give me a copy. And would you have them bring it down to my office?
Yes.
Fine. Appreciate it.